Hey, he mentioned the Sunday school lesson. You want to see something really cool I didn't have time to finish? One little verse? Jump back to Daniel 8. I just want to show you how reliable that King James Bible is, right? So, Alexander the Great, Daniel 8, you know, he's that big horn, the he-goat with the notable horn, right? And just one little reference, you might not have seen this, okay? When Alexander the Great was dying, you know, he conquered 2 million square miles in 13 years. And he died an alcoholic, sodomite, everything else. And on his deathbed, they said, "Who gets your empire?" And he said, "Give it to the strongest and kick the bucket." And I want to show you what happened to his kingdom, because God told you about it 200 years before it happened. Look at verse 8, Daniel 8, verse 8. "Therefore the he-goat waxed very great." Okay, how's that for a buzzword to let you know it's Alexander the Great? And by the way, where did he come from? Verse 5. "And as I was wondering, behold, an he-goat came from the west." So here comes a guy named, somebody named the Great coming in from the west. That's a double duh. "Therefore," verse 8, "the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was what? Broken." That means he died, right? What happened when he died? Here you go, neighbor. "And for it," or in its place, right, "came up" what? "Four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven." Remember across the page, Daniel gives Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation of what this wild vision means, right? Verse 21, "And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king." Look at verse 22. "Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power." He's in hell already. Now this is written in 553 B.C. He said the horn breaks into four little horns. And right across the page, he tells you what it means. Four kingdoms coming up. Do you know, go do your homework, Alexander the Great's empire, stretching 3,000 miles from Greece all the way to India, was taken over by four generals until the Romans knocked them off.
Yes.
You know, this could be true.
Amen.
You never can tell. That's 200 years before it happened.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for all that. Amen. So we're going to have a good time this morning and tonight and all week. I'm going to unleash all my pastoral sermons. I hate preaching about stuff that's in my book. I do. I like, because I pastored two churches. But people want me to preach on the stuff that I've written about, you know. But my heart's with you. As your burdens and so on. We're going to preach a message this morning. Like North Carolina, they say, "Brother Grady's here to help us." Hudson Taylor used to say, "God's work done in God's way will never lack God's support." Okay? All right, turn to Judges. Judges. Now, you put up with all my nonsense. You know how it is. You'll wind up getting something that'll help you. And it's my burden. This is one of my favorite verses. Is when Jesus said to Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these? Feed my lambs."
Amen.
You know what a lamb is? It's a sheep. It's less than a year old. And then he said, "Feed my sheep" twice. That's all you old codgers.
Amen.
Preacher, I have a chance to feed the Lord's flock that you're in charge of.
Yes.
I get to feed them this morning. You understand, church people? I love you to death.
Amen.
Doing this 46 years. I guarantee the sermon right now, I've been preaching it for 40 years. Same sermon. God has always blessed it. We're going to start off talking about Oprah Winfrey. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. They think I'm kidding, preacher. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. What do we got at verse number 11? Judges 6, verse 11. "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in" where? You thought I was kidding, didn't you? "That pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son, Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him." Now, you folks that have been saved a while, you should know by now, in the Old Testament, whenever you see that expression, "the angel of the Lord," that's Jesus.
Yep.
In the Old Testament, showing up. without anybody knowing who he was, right?
Yeah.
And said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Couldn't you see Gideon? His knees are knocking there. He's hiding, you know, his wheat from the enemy, scared to death. And the Lord calls him a mighty what? Mighty man of valor. You know what that means? That when God looks at you now, he doesn't see what you are now. He sees what he wants you to become.
Amen.
And what he's perfectly capable of producing.
Amen.
Did I give you some weird testimony this morning? Grew up in three Irish bars in Manhattan. Dad, a connected guy with the mob. Why? He gave my stepmother one time a handwritten recipe in pencil and for spaghetti and meatballs, signed Carlo Gambino. I mean, how am I preaching to you this morning? How do you can't figure out God. Hey, the man after God's own heart reared Absalom, and a guy that hung out with witches reared a boy named Jonathan. You can't figure out God does stuff. But he can do something with you if you want to have it done. Now here's my verse. Get ready, neighbor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us. Oh, you know what? I forgot to tell you this. Ready? The whole purpose of this sermon this morning, ready? Is to answer one of the most commonly asked questions in the Christian's vocabulary. Ready? The number one question probably that Christians ask God, and if you ever ask him the question once, that's once too many, but we repeat that question to God many times, and I'm not going to tell you what the question is. I will give you a hint. It's a one-word question, and it's only got three letters in the word. And I'll give you a hint. Wait a minute. Some of you might be thick. I'll give you a hint. Three letters, and the last letter of the three letters is the letter Y. You think you can guess the word? Let's watch it now. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, in other words, like you just told me he is, look at that next word. Why then is all this befallen us? Now look, you want to get some help today? You won't get any help unless you fess up. I mean, don't act like you're some musician, museum piece here. And Brother Howes used to say a church is a hospital where sick people go, not a museum where we all display our wonderfulness. Somebody else said, revival begins with you. Draw a circle around yourself. Forget everybody on either side of you. Have you asked God why about stuff lately? Lord, if you love me, what? We do all the time. Guess why we do all the time? Because we're sorry as the devil.
Yes, yes, sir.
And the preachers mess up too, but as I've told you many times, we're not as messed up as you. Start laughing. You're making me nervous. We're messed up, but we're not as messed up as you. We'd be out of a job if we were as messed up as you. But we all mess up. And preacher, one day this sermon is so holy, you know what the Lord said to my heart? Put it on my heart. He said, son, I even asked that question one time. I don't know. Did you ever read the crucifixion account? My God, that's in the days of his flesh, Hebrews talks about. He was in all points tempted as we are. What did he say? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yes.
Put that in Psalm 22 so you wouldn't catch and miss it. Twice he put it in there. Yes. You ever ask God why? We all do sometime. That's not good to do that. And guess what? Suppose I show you this morning. I show you. Suppose I let the Lord show you exactly why he does what he does to you, or has done what he has done to you lately or a long time ago. Whatever forces you to stumble around and ask him why, when you're weak, can I tell you, can I show you why it happened to you? Give me an answer. I'll answer the question. Let you see it in the Bible yourself. Is that okay? Again, I've only preached this 40 years. Jack Hiles, our teacher, used to say, he who preaches to broken hearts will never want for an audience.
Yes.
This is my favorite preaching. The brokenhearted people, and we're all brokenhearted. Let's bow for prayer. Father, my brother, pastor, the man with the beard over here, looks like Santa Claus, scary looking guy. I asked you about him. You said he's a great guy. What's his name?
Brother Ted.
Brother Ted, would you pray for us, Brother Ted? Amen. Thank you. You made me seated. When I was here last time, or one of the times before that, I told you about that little boy that hung himself in that church in Cowpens, South Carolina. Brother, you know Greenville and Cowpens? Sad story, wasn't it? Terribly sad story. And I ministered to the mom and the dad back there, about that low one as they go. Remember that? And I had a man in my church. But, I mean, the man's face and mom's face said why all over it. Why did we lose our 12-year-old son? I had a man in my church who his son was killed in Afghanistan 10 days before he was supposed to come home after 10 days in the Marine Corps. Unsaved boy. Blown up with an IED. I preached his funeral down at Arlington National Cemetery, graveside and a funeral home. Preaching, listen to this. I was preaching in Palmyra, New York on Valentine's Day morning this year, right? And preached a message along the lines of the message we're hearing now. And a man came up to me at the book table, big old dude, you know, had a straight face, you know. I don't know if I made him mad. I was ready to change anything. I just preached. I'm looking up at him, you know. And this is what he said. He said, Brother Grady, my daughter died 1 year ago today, Valentine's Day, a year ago. Died of a heroin overdose in her own bed with two of my grandchildren sleeping next to her. I mean, like the next morning. They take the dead body out of the bed and two kids get up and go brush their teeth, I guess. But then he said this. He said, I never shed one tear all year until this morning. God got all over him. You know, you come into a building like this that's right with God, this Spirit of God's moving all over this place. He's trying to help everybody here that's willing to be helped. Amen. But you got to open up your heart to him and you got to fess up. Gotta fess up. You're not the museum piece the devil wants you to think you are.
Yes.
And God wants to help you.
Amen.
But he won't help you if you don't let him.
Yes.
Why? Now they ask preachers this normally. Why? Why did my son die? Why did this happen? You know what I mean? That's natural to think to do that. And then they think the preacher's got a magic wand that we can come up with a magic answer. So guess what we do? I'm going to give you a little peek into the professional tricks that a preacher will use. We take an escape hatch, bro. We don't know what happened. So we dodge the issue. Don't look at me like that. You do the same kind of stuff in your world. You want to see the verse? Turn to John 13. John 13. I am so going somewhere with this message. This has been so fine-tuned over the years, I could preach it in my sleep. Charles Haddon Spurgeon one time on a Saturday night, the famous preacher in London, you know, he was trying to outline a Bible verse for a sermon the next morning, couldn't get it. So he decided to get up early and do it in the morning, right? Sometimes a preacher will do that. So he went to bed. In the middle of the night, he started talking in the sleep. You ever do that? And don't mention any girlfriend's names, fellas, if you start talking in your sleep. He started talking to the sleep, and guess what? His wife woke up and listened to him. He started outlining the sermon, sleep talking. His wife, Susanna, got a pad out and a pen and started writing everything down he said. No kidding. This is in his autobiography, meaning he wrote the book, meaning not some crazy story somebody made up. And when he woke up, ready to jump in there and start working on it, his wife said, here's your sermon. And he preached it in the Metropolitan Tabernacle to 5,000 people, and that sermon today is in one of his volumes of sermons. All right, now here's our... Say, what's your escape hatch, preacher? So you come in there with some real terrible, tragic story to share with me, right? Same church, where the man said his wife died of a heroin overdose. Another man walked up to me and said, preacher, I've shed plenty of tears. I've buried a wife and two children. Not at one time, three different times. You know what I'm doing when I get out of here Wednesday night? When you're going to sleep? I'm jumping in my truck and driving 9 hours or whatever it is all the way back to Tennessee. Crashing and burning there and getting my second wind. Middle of the night, taking off and going to Branson, Missouri. Getting in there Friday afternoon sometime about 3 o'clock. Overnighting there. And instead of staying there like I normally would to preach all the way through Sunday, I got to take off Monday morning to go to someplace in Missouri, Piedmont, Missouri, I forget, 3 miles away. For a 10 o'clock funeral service. Wonderful preacher friend of mine, 70-plus years old, Brother McFadden, was with his wife driving somewhere down in Alabama or Texas, Georgia, I forget, some southern place, I'll think of it. Anyway, got rear-ended by an 18-wheeler. The wife was dead on the spot. I just was with the two of them 4 weeks ago in Alabama in a camp meeting. Sweetest lady. That poor man went to the hospital that night. These things happen. And when these people come up to you and ask you, preachers, why? Here's what the preachers will do. This is our dodge. Ready? Verse 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet too? You know, come on. Peter's always bummed out about something. Now, in other words, why you want me to do this is what Peter's implying, right? Now look what Jesus' answer is. Verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, in other words, now, right? Thou knowest not when. Now, but thou shalt know when. Hereafter. Now, that's a pretty good. I mean, preacher, we can't go wrong quoting the Bible to people. I'm cutting up by saying a dodge. The point is, we don't know all the time why that happened. We'd like to know, but we're not God. Okay, but God says, why don't you trust me a while? Okay, now that's good. This is true. But you know, the other day, 30, 40 years ago, I was studying some passages, and the Lord said, let me give you a little help here. Yeah, you'll get the whole full picture when you get to heaven, for sure. But let me give you something that can hold you over in the meantime. How many of you like snacks before the meal? I appreciate all that wild stuff is in my room. Those little Oreo cookies, low fat, low sugar. Help me, Jesus. And those little Hershey's that are sugar free. Oh. Listen, I'm out of them. I'm out of both of them. I got some nasty bananas still in there, but I'm out of the Hershey's, and I'll be here through Wednesday. I don't know if the Lord's speaking to anybody. But I'll have some of them before the preacher takes me off to where I'm going for the main meal, right? I don't know if we're going to McDonald's or Burger King. Okay. The Lord said, I've got something for you to hold you over for an explanation, in other words, why certain things have happened. I can give you something. You get the full picture up there. Something's better than nothing, isn't it? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is what the Lord showed me 40 years ago. And I've only shared it with good church people forever. And everybody and their grandmother gets help from this. If you're paying attention. If you're alive and if you're paying attention, right? All right, now 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, watch this very careful. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now again, how many times have you heard me quote the same verses? Proverbs says, buy the truth and sell it not. No Obama money, spiritual stuff. You got to pay for spiritual truth. Buy the truth by paying attention, by maintaining a hungry burden in your heart, by really thinking on God, praying while you're listening. Lord, help me to get this. Coming in, prayed up to church. Amen. Then God will give you something. If you give it the old, you know, Baptist salute, yawn, forget about it. Right. Now here we go. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 1, and I, brethren, Paul talking to this carnal church in Greece, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Take your crazy tongue speaking somewhere else is what he's telling them. Verse 3, and I was, this is encouraging. Watch this one, neighbor. And I was with you in what? Weakness. And in what? Fear and in much trembling. That's the guy that wrote in Timothy, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. What does that mean? Preachers aren't perfect. We're all struggling. We're all in the nasty flesh. We're all fighting the same devil. And if the devil's kicking you in the pants this morning, at least you know you're out in front. Say amen right there. And he's standing on one leg. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. If you're serving God, you're in a spiritual warfare. You expect your life's going to go normal? The more you try to do for God, the crazier your world's going to get. Yes. I was fine health-wise till I started that six-year project writing that book on Israel. Then I got the diabetic, heart attacks, and high blood pressure, everything under the sun happened. Nothing to get nervous about. Amen. Fighting the devil. Aren't you willing to get banged around a little bit? That's the greatest apostle. That's Paul talking about. He was scared to death. Matter of fact, you know, the book of Acts tells you when he was writing that church that he's writing to now, he wanted to get out of there because that was one of the scariest cities in the country, in Greece. And Jesus had to show up, or an angel, one of you, in the middle of the night and appear to him. Don't leave. He had his suitcases packed. I have much people still here, man. Relax. You ever read that? He's running out of Dodge. You're in good company if you get weak sometimes. But you don't have to stay that way. Watch now. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching, watch this, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. He's one trying to be Joel Osteen up there, just tell you a bunch of nice things that you want to hear or throw. You know, I sit out there and tell you those dopey Italian jokes. I got 2 900-page books out on the table. You think I'm as dumb as I act? I'm just trying to be, you know, Billy Sunday, the evangelist, used to say, keep the cookies on the bottom shelf so everybody can reach them. I'm not standing there trying to impress you how smart I think I am. That's what Paul's saying here. You know what Paul said? You want to find out how much I know? Ready? Just listen to my sermons and see what you feel. Because you can't work that up with an intellect. Look what he says. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in, look at that next word, demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That means the tissues start coming out, and the tears start flowing, and the people start getting shook up, and the people hit the altar. You ever get in the service when it gets thick, or what they call cloudy? You can't work that stuff up in a Bible college classroom, learn how to do that. That's what Simon wanted to do with Peter. How much I want to buy the Holy Ghost? Would you just, how much does that cost? Remember that pervert? Paul said, thy money perish with thee. What are you, sick in the mind? That's what Paul said. Watch this. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Verse 6, you know what's going to get you through the turbulence between now and the rapture? The power of God will get you through it.
Amen.
God will take care of you. You let your child run around in a back alley or get mugged by somebody or let him run loose without looking after him. You're God's child. If you stay right, stay in the yard, and don't talk to strangers, he'll take care of you. He'll help you. But, hey, you know, one of the greatest truths, never mind, there's a lot of liberty here.
Amen.
This is an easy place to preach. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Now watch, we're heading to the subject of you asking God, what's the question? Why, right? Can I ask you a question? Why are you asking God why? Because there's something going on that you don't understand. Otherwise you wouldn't ask him why. You already know the answer. Why did you let my baby die? Why did you let my health fall apart? Why did my wife run off with the mailman? Why did my husband do this? Why did my mother die lost? Could you make a list if you had to right now? Sure you could. So you're going to ask why, because it's a mystery. You know, next to Kojak, you know who my favorite character was? I'll give you a hint. Just one more thing. Lieutenant Columbo. Amen, brother. Lieutenant Columbo. Okay? And they said, when you hear it's one more thing, you're busted. That's the old line, remember? And who loves your baby? Kojak, another lollipop. Sherlock Holmes. They're trying to solve what? Mysteries. You got a mystery in your life? Why did this happen? Why was I reared by my grandparents? What happened to my parents? Why did I get molested? That's a very common one today. Okay, it's a mystery, yes. I just want you to see we're zeroing in. We're going to be there in any minute. I want you to see. Look, I'm like him. Look, preacher's always doing this. You ever notice that? He could be a deaf interpreter. I mean, he's got it all down. All right, look. I'm still mad at him for that bulletin board he had down there. All right, now watch. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God. You know, what's the next word? Here we go. Now, in case you didn't get it the first time, he's going to double up. Even the, what kind of wisdom? Hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. What he's fixing to say is this. If you're wandering around, not knowing what God's doing with you, or dealing with things that appear mysterious, why is this happening? When I was 10 years old, I woke up one night, my mother had a pillow over my face. She's trying to suffocate me. And I jumped up out of the bed, pushed her, she had booze all over her breath, ran out into the kitchen. Gas was all over our kitchen. She had the gas jets on, towel by the front door of our apartment, trying to suffocate me and my sister and her. a good woman, but she was messed up with hypoglycemia and Ouija boards and all kind of crazy. I had to open up, turn the oven off, open the door, get some air in there. Hey, we could have hours of testimonies here about what you've been through. Now, here's the deal. Watch this. The Lord's saying, if you want to know why you don't understand what I'm doing, trust me, there's something going on. I'm just not showing it to you, right? What he's fixing to show, use as an illustration, as he said, hey, there's a time that I faked out the entire world one time, including the devil himself, when I brought my son into the world. I didn't tell anybody why he was coming, except the Jews understood that he was supposed to be the king of the Jews. And that got the devil to kill him. And the devil got sucker punched something fierce. Because the very thing the Lord was supposed to do was to come to die. Yes. You know the Christmas song, Born to Die. But nobody knew that he was going to die for our sins. They thought he was going to be the king of Israel. So listen, if the devil knew that Jesus dying on the cross was going to make salvation available for everybody, please God, you think the devil would have pushed him up onto the cross? He got faked out. The devil got sucker punched. Watch the verse explain that coming up right here. Watch. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. In other words, God planned the crucifixion, right? In his mind, right? Before the world was ever here. And look at the next verse. Brother Pastor, read that verse 8 real loud.
Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Oh, listen, I heard a preacher one time say something. You know, a lot of people that don't know the Bible say, well, in the Old Testament, people got saved looking forward to the cross, like we get saved afterwards looking back to the cross. That's a cute little cliche in Bible college. That couldn't be any closer. That's not even close to being accurate. But I don't have to. You've taught them better. You go back to Luke chapter 14. Jesus tells about the death and the burial and the resurrection, and it says the apostles understood none of these things, for it was hidden from them. We don't have to go back over all that old territory. I heard an old preacher though one time preach a sermon. You've heard that term, the greatest story ever told. That was the movie that came out in the 1960s, The Greatest Story Ever Told. And the other movie, King of Kings, came out. Two main Hollywood productions about the crucifixion, you know, way back in the 60s. I heard an old preacher, though, preach a sermon, and this was the title of his message. The greatest secret that was ever kept became the greatest story that was ever told. That's what that verse is talking about. Nobody, what do you think the apostles freaked out for 3 days for? Why do you think on Sunday morning when they're looking forward to the cross, why on Sunday morning when Jesus is gone out of the tomb after 3 days, they're still back there, you know, brooding and depressed? And the women went.
Yes.
What'd they go for? To anoint his body. And they said, who's going to move the stone for us? And they walk in there and the angel says, guess what? He's not here.
Amen.
He's gone. What? Nobody knew that was going to happen.
Right.
Somebody, listen to this. Ready? Somebody said, the greatest news the world ever heard was uttered in a graveyard. He is not here, for he is risen. I don't think you'll find a better news headline than that in the world. And it come out of a cemetery. Say amen right there. All right. Now, what's this got to do with me, preacher? I mean, I understand that. Okay, here's where God's going. Watch. Remember, you listen to me. I've been here forever. I build, don't I? So you'll get something. You got to pay attention, and then it'll blow up at the end. What the Lord is saying here is just like I faked out the whole world and did things they didn't know what was happening, I've been doing that in your life. I got things in your life that you can't begin to understand either. Duh. It's a mystery. Duh. But now I'm going to give you a little hint. I'm going to crack the door just a little bit to give you that, give you that Hershey's chocolate. Did anybody write that down, by the way? A little half step, a little hors d'oeuvre. Boy, you know, he eats a lot of hors d'oeuvres. You know, preachers love special meetings so they can take the special speaker out every night and blow $500 a night. You ought to see the junk that dude eats. I'm serious. It's a heart attack. Blooming onions and some kind of... And then he tells me that it doesn't taste good, so I won't eat any of his. What was that stuff you had last night? Them potatoes? Real weird-looking stuff, but what was that? Am I right? Look at him. He is under so much conviction. You should have never had that bulletin board up there. I don't get mad, I get even. Amen, Brother Grady. Okay, the Lord says, can I give you a little hors d'oeuvre? Hold you over till you get to heaven and find out what's going on in the big picture? I'll give you a perfect little, enough to satisfy you. You ready? It's in verse 9. And when you read that, there's no way you're going to get it. You're good folks, but this is so deep, even the Lord doesn't understand this verse sometime. He told me that. Get ready. Say, how do you keep saying weird things like that, Brother Grady? Did you ever see Crocodile Dundee? He said, me and God are mates. You ever heard that line? I'm close to God, like you should be, and he knows when I'm yanking your chain for fun. You ever see me have a heart attack up here? I'm doing fine. Right, Lord? Hang in there. Me and the Lord are mates. Look at verse 9 and put your seatbelt on. Here's your answer. And remember, you're not going to get it till I go back and explain it to you. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. Don't forget that by it is written. He's quoting an Old Testament verse. That's the key to the whole sermon. But as it is written, he's quoting something out of Isaiah. Eye hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. See that verse? That's the answer to all your problems. See? And you don't understand it yet, and you're normal. I wouldn't understand it the first time I read it. That's what good pastors and shepherds are for, to try to help you to get into your own Bibles so you can read them on your own and find stuff in there by yourself. But some of these things are landmark verses that'll be a blessing to you if you get to figure it out. Now, the first thing I've got to tell you is the reason you're not understanding where I'm going yet is because you have already been pre-programmed to misunderstand that verse. When you look at that verse, aren't you thinking about heaven? I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. Look, the things which God hath what? Prepared for them to love him, right? So what do you think that's talking about? You think that's talking about heaven, right? You know why? Because of what Jesus said in John 14. I go to what? Prepare a place for you. Sean Hannity's favorite verse, let not your heart be troubled. You all with me? Right? Let me ask you a question. Did the Lord say he was going to go to heaven? Did he say he'd prepare things for you? Sure he did. And by the way, in my Father's house are many mansions. You ought to thank God you got a King James Bible. If you got a whacked out NIV or ESV, you got a verse that says, in my Father's house are many rooms. I want a crib, amen. I don't want a room. King James says mansion. Amen. You got to believe the preachers. We're not up here just blowing smoke. These are all true stuff. Amen. Okay? So, there's a mansion up there waiting on you. So that's true, yes? But ready? That's not what verse 9 is talking about. Verse 9 is not talking about things that God's prepared for you in heaven. He's talking about something totally different. You won't see it till you read the verses after it. Ready? He's talking about things he's prepared for you already, right? In the book you're holding in your hand. You know what David said? Anybody ever heard of David? 23rd Psalm. You know what he said? Psalm 119. What did he pray? Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Yes. There's so much stuff in that book, you couldn't scratch it the surface in 20 million lifetimes. Yes. You can't figure it out until God opens your eyes. Hey, we're talking about Europe. Remember this Sunday school, Japheth? Who was the first Japhethite saved in Japheth, in Europe? A businesswoman named Lydia. Sitting in there, praying with the women, trying to find God. A European woman. First European ever saved. Right? And Paul showed up there to talk to her, and then what does it say? Whose heart the Lord opened. That she attended unto the things spoken by Paul. When you see somebody glued into a sermon like this, that's because God's opened their heart like that. You see this kind of stuff with the same sermon? They're out to lunch. God's not 100 miles of that person. And again, don't let me bother you, right? Right? But the world's coming to an end. I'm gonna ride that truck a long time because I know it's starting. You're crazy if you're not living for God tonight. And if you're not sure you're saved, you're doubly crazy.
Yes, sir.
Hey, am I right, preacher?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, with all that in mind, let me show you the verse that shows you that that's what it's talking about. Because getting that down, right? If all you know so far is that God's got special stuff in that Bible for you. You know, if that's all you know, man, you're on like second or almost third base now, home plates where it's all going to come together. What did I tell you when I was here last time? I read a book. This is my Greg Nash interpretation again. I read a book. Preacher, they're not laughing as much when I pick on you. Tell them you and I are tight.
We're tight.
Okay. I made him. I told you last time I was here, I read a book, and preachers read the book after I mentioned it, and got a lot out of it and taught you a lot from it, about the guy, written in 1890-something, the guy standing on a shore and the ocean's coming up over his ankles like we'll do you, and all that foamy water coming up around your ankles. This writer said, that water around your ankles represents the amount of the Bible God's opened up to you that you do understand. And he said, the rest of it's out there. You never scratch the surface of that Bible.
Amen.
So here's the deal. If all you understand now is that God has prepared things for you in that Bible, right? This has everything to do with why you're asking God why. It's all going to come together in just a couple of minutes. Watch the verses now that unfold. I never used to tell the people up front what it's about. I used to show the verses first and then let them figure it out. But this is better if I tell you up front. They tell you in Bible college when you're going to preach a sermon, tell the people what you're going to tell them. Tell them and tell them what you told them. Amen. All right, look at verse number 10. Watch. So the first thing we're trying to show you is verse 9 is not talking about things that are in heaven that he's prepared for you. Talking about things in a book that's in your hand. Now watch very carefully. Verse 10. Whatever those things are. See the word? See in verse 9? The things. See that? Anybody ever see that crazy science fiction movie, The Thing, from outer space? You know who The Thing was? That was Matt Dillon, amen? Gunsmoke. That's his first movie. Anyway, I don't know if you're interested in that. Verse 10. Here you go. Ready? But God hath revealed. What's the next word? Man, what's he talking about? Those things, whatever the things are. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Uh-oh. Did any of you ever have a vision and see stuff that's up in heaven yet? If you have, do not raise your hand in this congregation. All right, it's not talking about stuff that God's showing you that's up in heaven. Watch it. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Watch. For the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that's inside of you right now, for the Spirit searcheth all things. Now here comes an expanded definition of the term the things. Watch how the definition gets bigger now. Yea, the, what's the last four words? Deep things of God. Y'all see that? See how we're moving into what's in your book? The thing verse 9 is talking about, the deep things, are the deep thing, are the things of God, are the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So what is he what's he talking about, preacher? Stay with me, neighbor. Can I tell you a couple of the things that are in here? I don't know. I don't know if you know it. Many of them. There's hundreds of them. Can I give you like a few as an example? Here, how's this one? How's this one? How about how to go to heaven? You got a whole book in the Bible written so you can know how to go to heaven. You got lost people? Tell them to read the Gospel of John. It's meant to point them to salvation, how to be saved. Wouldn't that be something cool? To miss burning in hell forever?
Yes.
How about how to get your prayers answered? Bible tells you all kind of things about how to get your prayers answered. Better than that, it tells you why your prayers aren't getting answered. Duh. Are you in church every time the doors are open? He that turneth his ear away from the hearing of the law, even his prayer will be an abomination. You don't come to church three times a week. You just float in on Sunday morning maybe, and you're watching TV, goofing off, doing what you want. Next thing you got a problem, you start talking to God about it. Here's your answer from heaven. Watch. Don't miss it. I just gave you the verse. He that turneth his ear away from the hearing of the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination to God. God says, are you kidding? Don't waste my time with your stupid prayers. Now you come to church, call on God, brother, he'll talk to you. He'll take care of you. Hey, neighbor, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You don't get right with God about things that are in there and you know are wrong. You can't live a perfect life. You go up and down, bounce around, fight things all the time. But if you're not trying, you're regarding it. Give my regards to Broadway. I knew that would wake him up back there. Hey, hey, you're regarding sin. How you doing down there? It's part of your life. You and sin are pals. Try talking to God about your burdens. He'll laugh at you. Don't you? Sometimes you're watching Joel Osteen too much. Some of you, some this is hard stuff. Doesn't seem to make sense to you. Hey, you find your husband's render honor unto your wife is under the weaker vessel. That your prayers be not hindered. You men mistreat your wives left and right. Don't waste any time praying. You're not going to get through. You get my point? What are we talking about? The deep things of God. You listen, I might be wrong. I might be wrong. How many would like to hear him sing, give my regards to Broadway, for real, right now? Who would want to hear him say that? Nobody? Oh, one hand over here. Okay, how about that great hymn of the faith, she was bred in old Kentucky, but she's just a crumb up here. That's my favorite here. Hey, I might be wrong. I might be wrong. You know, forgive me. But we might have to know how to get some prayers answered between now and the rapture. You can't find a quarter pounder with cheese in America after 8 o'clock if you're interested. McDonald's closes at 8 now, most places. There's an Alabama McDonald's with a sign up says, we pay per day. Illegal aliens, we'll pay you by the day, McDonald's. That's how desperate America is with whack job Joe Biden in there.
Yes, sir.
So I don't know. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. I'm just saying now. I'm just saying. You might have to know how to get through to God.
Amen.
Your life might depend upon it.
Yes.
Deep things of God. How to get to heaven. How to get your prayers answered. Hey, I don't know. Anybody like to have a successful marriage? Duh.
Yes.
Almost everybody and their grandmother's divorced every time you turn around. This book's got plenty in there.
Amen.
Got a whole book, Song of Solomon. It's just a love book. How about finances? You don't have to make one stupid mistake after another when it comes to money. Somebody said there's more material in the Bible as far as practical subjects on money than anything.
Yes.
How about this? Ready? How about wisdom for life? Don't we all know saved people all over the place? Their lives are beyond wrecks. They're saved, but they're just as dumb as a box of rocks. Make one bad decision. Have you, I don't know if you've ever seen that. They don't have to be. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. And that you might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
He came to bring two lives to people. One was eternal life. You get saved. I'm on my way to heaven. And the other one is abundant life. Down here. While you're waiting to head up yonder.
Amen.
How about the peace of mind? You know anybody that's got peace? Preacher, how many people are on opioids across America tonight? Some insane percentage of folks?
Yes.
Everybody's on pills.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. I'm pretty good. John Wesley used to say, by the way, all those kids back there, preacher, look at them. They're all paying attention to me. I bet you they don't do that when you're preaching. But I'm serious. I'm serious. Preacher, look at that. Are they in trouble? They're not in trouble? What are they paying attention for? I know evangelists that pass offering plates before they preach, not for money. They collect the cell phones during the sermons. Everybody and their grandmother. But you get your head down. The preacher thinks I'm reading my Bible. I know the naughtiness of your heart. But they're all up here looking. That's amazing. How about this? Yeah, peace of mind. John Wesley used to say worry is a mild form of atheism. How about purpose? This is my favorite one. Purpose in life. Excuse me. I'm heading a drive through the night, I told you. Wednesday when I'm done, while you're snoring, I'm driving down down 81, right? Get to Tennessee half dead. I don't know. Get my shirts out of the cleaners, get a haircut, find out what time it is, where my life is, get my oil changed, all that day. Look, right? Look, go to bed about 11, get up about 2 in the morning, and drive up to somewhere up in Ohio, Mansfield, Ohio. No. Yeah, Wednesday night. preach up in Mansfield, Ohio, jumping to take off to New York in the middle of the night, preaching New York Thursday night. Hello, be up there all the month of June. I got to preach in 17 churches. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm trying to make a point to you. 26 days out of the month of June, I'll be speaking at nighttime. 26. Look at this. I'm 60 stinking 9 years old in November. Did you hear what I said? That's my schedule. Why am I doing that? Because God's let me do it. I have purpose. I am not bored. Are we having fun yet? I am beyond blown away. And I smoked marijuana till it was coming out of both ears at the same time. So I know what the world says a buzz is all about. But I know the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season only. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Yes.
My brother was blown away by the Miami Police Department for blowing his shotgun through his next door neighbor's front door. I know how sin leaves you. I don't want that. God's opened a door for me, and I'm busy for Him. Look, I'm busy. Well, you understand what I'm trying to tell you? I have a purpose.
Amen.
I feel good about. I woke up this morning, preacher, and jumped up and ran right to the kitchen table, got on my computer, started working on my new book like a little kid. Preacher said, soul winning. You want to go soul winning with us? Or you could stay here if you'd like to rest. I thought, man, he sounds sincere. I think I'll take stay home and rest. And I'm going to be rested. I'm going to work on my book. That's what I told you, right, preacher? Then my wife kicked me right where it hurts. On the telephone. I told her I was doing what I was going to do. She said, you didn't go up there to write your book. You go up there to help a church. You lazy bum. I'm lying. Strike him dead. Did I call you and say I'm going soul winning? Did I call you? Why am I telling you that? I just thought you'd like to know that I married up. I married up. But I'm on my book. That's purpose. I'm creating something for God. 6.5 years, 6.5 years, 13 years right here. You know what they're doing out in the world? Are we having fun yet? What's Beyonce doing? I got to find some happiness. That book will give you some purpose.
Amen.
Understanding the time. We're talking about deep things of God. How about understanding what's going on in the world?
Amen.
How about knowing who Joe Biden? He's probably the Antichrist. How about dealing with suffering? That's where we started. Why is this happening to me? You got the idea? I could put 50 more things down. We'll just cover that. That's it. Could you add things? What are you talking about, preacher? Ready? I'm talking about the stuff God's got in the book here.
Amen.
They're already in there. Look at verse 13. Verse 12. Now, and I'm talking about a King James Bible. You know how I know it's a King James Bible? Look what verse 12 says. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are, what's the next word? Freely given to us of God. By now you should know, the way you know the King James Bible is the true Bible. It's the only Bible that doesn't have a copyright. You could print them and sell them and do anything you want with them. You can't do that with an NIV or any modern Bible, because they all have copyrights, all owned by the publishers. This is the Word of God. And the Word of God is not bound, it says.
Amen.
Freely given. All those things are in this book, sitting right here. Now, an unsaved man can't get it. But the natural, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. All right, all that. We are now at third base in the sermon, okay? So you're getting your, I keep talking about hors d'oeuvres, and you want to go to lunch now. I know all about it. I know the naughtiness of your heart. Ooh, sorry about that. Lord, just judge me for your sake. Oh, broke my leg here. Where's my lawyer at? You hear about that Jewish doctor? You hear about that Jewish doctor gave his patient 6 months to live? The guy didn't pay his bill, so he gave him 6 more months. Ah. Half dead here. Okay. Now watch. The whole key to this now, here's the key to the whole sermon. Here's the key to the whole sermon. Watch. God's got all that stuff in that book prepared for you, right? But the key is, it's like this. Well, I don't want to mess with that one. That's too heavy. I might get a lightning bolt if I touch that one. All that stuff's in the Bible, but here's the thing. Look, It's like that. Okay? See, why is your Bible so messed up, preacher? Somebody said the Bible that's falling apart is often owned by a man who's not.
Yes.
All right, look. All those wonderful things, they're prepared. They're in there. And God's like this, look, because he can't wait for you to get them. The key is getting them. And that's got everything to do with how we started the sermon. Why did you let this happen? Right?
Yes.
Okay? Trust me. You don't think I preached this sermon for 40 years because it's a dud sermon. Stay with me. Go back to verse 9 now. Now that you know it's not talking about heaven, right? And now watch how it'll open up to you right here before your eyes, okay? Verse 9. But as it is written, again, quoting an Old Testament verse, but as it is written, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared, ready, for his children. Is that what it says? God, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those that are born again. Right? Is that what it says? You want to see hate literature at its best? The crazy world is always hate, hate, hate. God does something for somebody without doing it for somebody else. Hate, hate. You know how crazy the stupid world is. That's the greatest hate verse in the Bible. You know what discrimination is? That's a bad word. Any old-timers remember when all Madison Avenue advertising campaigns, this suit, this store is for the discriminating shopper. You heard that term in the old days? When you pick Coca-Cola, you just discriminated against Pepsi. Does anybody have a brain left in their heads? That just means selections.
Yes.
Now, if you're interested, look what God said he did. I think it says, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for what? Them that what? Love him. What about the ones that don't love him? That stuff that's in that book right now, that's really only going to open up to God's children who love him. The rest of them can go play in the sandbox. That's hateful. I know. Sorry. Go back to watching television. And we know that all things work together for good to God's children everywhere. Is that what it says? Here goes another hate verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Anybody home yet? In other words, ready? There's two kinds of people in this room right now. Well, there's three. Unsaved people, just like this Bible calls spiritual, natural, and carnal. Everybody in the world is either saved or lost. Look, if you're lost, you're natural is what the Bible says. If you're saved, you're two types of saved. You're spiritual or you're carnal. Trying to love God, trying to serve him. I don't give a flip. I'm just glad I'm saved. I'm going to do what I want now. Two kinds, right? Every saved person in this room is in one of those categories. You either, you're carnal or you're spiritual. You either love God or you don't love God. And guess what's going to prove which one you are? Take a guess. How much of that book makes sense to you when you try to get into it? Yep, about now the light bulbs usually start humming. Preacher, wait a minute, something ain't right here. I love God, but I can't get anything out of the Bible. My marriage is a wreck. My finances are a wreck. My kids are crazy. I got depression. I'm on pills. I had the Bible the wrong way here. But I love God. Well, maybe God's lying and you're telling the truth. Hey, turn over to John. I'm tagging third base now, and I'm starting toward home plate. Preacher, where are we going to eat? Do you know yet? Amen, Brother Grady. Turn to John 14. You know what God tells you? Here's the key. Here's the key to the sermon. Say, preacher, you keep saying that. That's one of my tricks. I keep saying, this is the key. Have you noticed that I got about 12 keys in every sermon? That keeps giving you oxygen. He's almost done. Brother Smokey Grissom, his daughter was at the church service the other day. Her dad said, when they're praying for the sermon, he said she prays silently, Lord, make it be a short sermon. Typical teenage girl. All right, ready now? Look at John 4. Here's the deal. When you have real love for God, okay, ready, and show it to God, this is what happens. He opens this book to you.
Yes.
Just like that. That's his way of revealing himself to you on these pages. Want to see the verse? What's John 14 say? Verse 21. Three benefits of loving God. Look at it. Never forget it. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments, how many of you have God's commandments in your hands there, right? You know what God wants. Is that good enough? I have a Bible, preacher. That's not good enough. Not good enough. Read the rest of the verse. And what's the next two words? Keepeth them. How many of you keeping the commandments now? See what I mean? Everybody threw the hand up. I got them. Yeah, how many of you keeping them? This is the Lord speaking here. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Don't you sit there and say, I love God, but I'm not getting anything. Don't tell me you love God because you think you love him. You don't love him just because you want to have that frame of mind. You love him if you're keeping his commandments.
Amen.
That doesn't mean perfectly. That means working at it.
Amen.
All right? How are we doing? We got the cheese on the pizza? But watch how the verse ends. And whoever does that, he it is that loveth me. Here it comes. Watch. And he that loveth me, right, shall be loved of my Father. Benefit number one. And I will love him. Benefit number two. Can you put your seatbelt on so you don't fall out of the pew and hit your head on the ground? Cause a lawsuit for the church. Here's the last one. And will what? Manifest myself to him. You know, you know if you're pleasing God when you open up this book, as I've told you many times before, with coffee. If you don't try to drink the Bible with coffee, you're missing stuff, brother. That coffee will open up your nostrils or brain waves. It'll do something for you. Jack Hyles used to tell a joke about Bill Clinton when he was president. They had Clinton at a spelling bee, and they said, Mr. Clinton, Mr. President, can you spell the word ear? He said, sure. Ear, E-A-R, ear. He said, very good, Mr. President. He said, can you use that word in a sentence now? He said, sure. Ear. That was Jack Hyles' favorite joke. That ain't mine. I wouldn't tell jokes like that. But look, you got a Bible book called Hebrews. Can't you read? You read the Word of God with coffee there, you're going to see some things. What does that verse just say? God said he'll manifest himself to you. He doesn't do that in stupid, charismatic, Benny Hinn, nutty things, showing up in your room. He's going to do it right in that book. You're going to be sitting there all by yourself and read it. Wow, look at that.
Amen.
You'll see something. I got goosebumps running up both legs right now because I know how true what I'm telling you is. I'm going through all this silly stuff, making a joke out of myself. Keep you listening. Maybe somebody will say, I think I'll try that. Well, here's the thing. I haven't told you what you got to try yet. We're halfway to home plate now. I just want you to see what the idea is by now. If you love God the way he wants to be loved, and that love will be transferred into keeping his commandments, then he'll open the book to you. But here's the key now. Watch. The devil's a deceiver. He's been at this a long time. There are people all over this room here, nice people, yes? And you're pretty convinced that you love God. Maybe you're overly convinced. And what you think is really love really isn't love to God. And the devil's just got you fooled. I can show you. Three kinds of love. God only wants one of the three kinds. The devil's love, human love, and God's divine type love. Three kinds. What's the devil's love? We don't have to talk about it. That's lust. Eros. Erotia. I can't wait to get married. I got to have her now. You know that perversion. The world calls it love. That's Satan's love. Forget about it. Now you got two to deal with. Watch. Human love and divine love. You've heard these sermons ideas before. What's human love? Conditional. Preacher, I got married, loved my wife, but guess what? We don't love each other anymore. We're getting divorced. We did love each other once. Now we don't. Why? Because she stopped doing stuff that I thought would be good for me to have done. She don't treat me the way I want to treat her anymore. She got old. You understand, right? Conditions. When they're met, everything's fine. As soon as it doesn't work, we're out of here. That's men. That's humans. That's not the love he's looking for. He wants divine love. What's divine love? Unconditional love. The way he loves us. Amen. He never stops loving us. He has to spank us sometimes. He has to put us in a corner if we're not doing right sometimes, but he never stops loving us. The biggest sinner in this room, if you got right with God today, if you had to get right with God and came to the altar and got things right, God would love you no more then than he loves you right now before you got right. The most spiritual person in this room, you went out tomorrow and got into dope and everything else under the world, left the Lord, he wouldn't leave you. He wouldn't love you any less then. The shepherd goes out looking for that one sheep that left it. Leaves the 99. That's God. Now, ready? All you got to do is figure out what kind of love you got. You think you... ready? I don't get the Bible. My life's not right. But I love him. Yeah, yeah. But if you really loved him the way he wanted to be loved, you wouldn't have that many problems. You'd have problems from the devil throwing junk at you that Satan's permitting him to do. Because every branch in me that bears fruit, he purges it. That it can bring forth more fruit. That's not what we're talking about. Yeah, I can't get anywhere with the Bible in my life. But I love God. Well, no. So let's take a test. And now we're at the beginning of the sermon, how we started. Remember Gideon? Lord, if thou be with us, why then, right? Are you asking God, why did this happen to me in my life? Why did my kid go bad? Why, right? We started there. Look, here we are, full circle. Well, guess what God's got to do to find out what kind of love you have? He's got to show you what kind of love you have. You know what he's got to do? Well, I had a feeling that wasn't going to do anything. Forget about it. Now I lost the effect. It's your fault. If it ain't your fault, it's Trump's fault. You know what the Lord has to do in our life? He's got to put the lights out for a little while in your life. And when it goes dark, ready? Now we'll find out what kind of love you have for God. Guess what most Christians do? Start whining, complaining. Instead of saying, Lord, why is this happening? It's more like, Lord, if you loved me, you wouldn't let this happen. Forget this. Is this all I get for living for the Lord in church? I'm out of here. You ever seen Christians like that? They grumble and mumble. The Old Testament word is murmur. Yes? And see, there goes those light bulbs now that are humming. It's getting quiet because the Lord's dealing with you. He doesn't hate you. You're his kid. He's trying to help you. He can't help you if you don't pay attention. Before I went astray, I was afflicted. But since I've been afflicted, now I understand. Forget that one. I tried three times. That was my Joe Biden impersonation. I'm serious. Hey, man, I'm 69 stinking years old. I could have been a contender. Here we go. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I've kept thy word. Hey, watch this one. You want to hear a verse that's going to send you into next week? It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. God puts you in the dark to squeeze you. Watch this. Because when he puts you in the dark, guess what happens? You're going to respond to the trial that he puts you through one of two ways. You're going to grumble and gripe, or you're going to do exactly what Job did. Job cleaned himself up, it said, and he fell on the ground and he worshiped God. after he learned he lost everything. Remember that? And what did he say? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of these things, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. The devil got mad. He tried a second round. And he said, let me after him. Let me get his, you wouldn't let me touch his body. Let me get his body. The Lord said, okay, just don't kill him. Signed a requisition slip. First time he said, okay, but don't touch his body. Next time, okay, you can touch his body, but don't kill him, right? And then you see Job scraping himself with a disease Satan gave him. Look, his wife comes over to him and said, why you retain your integrity and die? You know, curse God and die, Job. What's the matter with you? And he says, you speak like the foolish woman speaketh. Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil also? Though he slayed me, yet will I trust in him. The devil took off. He didn't mess with God anymore. Job passed the test. Job got tested just like you got tested. And excuse me for breathing. This is the oldest book of the Bible. This is the first lesson God's trying to teach us. And then I'll read you this verse and I'm just about done. And here's what Job says. When he passes that test, right, the Lord shows up. And he says, Job, you got some problems that you didn't know you had. When I test you and you pass the test, I'm going to open up the book to you. But there's no book for me to open up yet. So I'm the author of the book that's going to come out. I'll just show up and give you a one-on-one. How's that? And he says, hey, Job, you think you're so special? Where were you when I hung the moon in the sky? And where were you? Remember that? Job 38, 39, 40. He puts him up like on a hook, you know? Job's hanging there like a hook like that. And God's going, blah, 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 blah. And Job's going, blah, 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 blah. And the Lord is laying into him, right? And when it's all finished, you know what Job says? I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, Job 42:5, but now mine eye seeth thee. Anybody want to see God? Amen. Anybody want to see him? You can't see him till he puts you in the dark and squeezes you because he's trying to see one thing. What kind of love do you have? You got it? If your love for God is cheap, human, conditional love, then you'll grind and complain and turn on Him once you're not getting what the conditions you want. When you love Him unconditionally, it doesn't matter what He does to you. Excuse me for breathing, but God killed all 10 of Job's children. Or let devil do it. Anybody ever lose 10 kids in one day? We're amateurs. And what did Job do? He worshiped. And you know what God said? He passed, bro. He's got it. He's got the love I want. So guess what I'm going to do to him? I'm going to open that book to him. Yes. Anybody want to have the book opened up? I don't want to be able to go through what Job went through. That's how it is with most people. They don't want to know God like they could. Now, I'll close this message by telling you how God taught this truth to me many years ago, 40 years ago. This is how God taught it to me, and I'm done. I was a teacher where he was in school. I was there 86 to 96, brother. What years were you there, Pastor?
88 to 92.
He was there 88 to 92. Sometime while he was in school, I was his teacher. This is what happened to me. I'm minding my own business. I'm in church, just like he's sitting there now. I'm a teacher. I'm sitting in church. My wife and kids are there. And the announcement is, hey, next Friday, we're going to have a college activity, Bill McSpadden night, for all the college families, bring their little kids. Bill McSpadden was some nutty guy, like a youth director that had things going on for the kids. It's Sunday. They're announcing it for Friday. $1.25 a piece or something. I think it was $5 for my wife to take our three kids. Right? So Friday night. My little kids are in the pew. Daddy, can we go to Bill McSpadden night? No problem, kid. I didn't have 5 cents in my pocket, but I knew God. Amen. So I start praying about it. Guess what? No money came in Monday. No money came in Tuesday. $5, a lot of money? Yeah. When you're teachers, they keep you broke all the time. If you can, the old expression is, if you can do it, do it. If you can't teach, amen. I'm like starving here. I took a $10,000 pay cut from my church in Idaho to be a teacher at that college with 400 students. Well, Wednesday, I still don't have the money yet. Wednesday night church service, they announce it again. Hey, I'm at work at my part-time job. My wife tells me when I got home, the kids asked me if we're going to Bill McSpadden. I told them I didn't know. Tell them we're going. Dad's here. I can pray it down. Amen. Don't worry, pilgrim. Amen. I'm here. I'm praying in my prayer tower. Guess what? Ain't no money coming in. Friday shows up, and I'm teaching in my classes in the morning. That afternoon, I take off to go to my part-time job in Chicago. My wife says, honey, what do we do about tonight? I said, glory to God. You got to add faith to your prayers. Amen. Go on out to the college with the kids and look at my mailbox. There's got to be money in there. God ain't going to let me down. Amen. Look at my office. Sometimes people slid money under my office door. Amen. Okay, honey. In the meantime, boy, am I cranking those prayers up now. Oh, God, ready? Don't make me look bad. Now it's ego ministry. I'm the prophet of the house, wherever I'm supposed to be, the priest or something. I'm a praying. I worked, got to finish my job 11 o'clock at night in Chicago, sales job, drive an hour home, bust into the house at 12 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is. My wife's asleep on the waterbed, our little 800 square foot rented house. Hello. I grab her and shake her real good. And she wake up saying, ship ahoy. You know, like she was in a waterbed. I remember it like it was yesterday. And she looked up, Sleep Booger's ministry. You know, that's why she gives me all this hateful stuff like today. I said, honey, bang, bang, bang. I said, honey, what happened? See, my ego's this day. What happened? Yeah, you know, she didn't think she didn't shoot me the way I burst into the room. She said, what happened? What? I said, you went out to the lake. You went out to the college. Did you get? Was there any money there? She said, oh no. Bad answer. Wrong answer. I said, what? I said, what did you do? Well, I had $2, so I bought some popcorn, and me and the three kids walked around the college lake feeding the ducks while everybody's inside partying. I have a short fuse because of my last name, Grady. That's Irish. I said, honey, go back to bed. And I went outside from our 800-square-foot house, preacher, 12:30 in the morning on the front lawn. And me and God, we had it out. Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali. I can quote my prayer to you. Would you like to know what it was? It's 1987. I said, hey, Lord, how you doing? You up there? I wasn't mates with God by that time in my life yet. Hey, Lord, what happened? Five lousy dollars. I'm trying to give you hope. I was I'd pastored a church by now. I'm teaching the Bible. I'm teaching him. Now you know why he is like he is. I said, Lord, hello, anybody up there? That's how I was doing it. $5. I wasn't trying to, this is how old this story is. I wasn't trying to take the kids to see the Ninja Turtles. That's what was popular. I wanted to see a Christian thing for their lives. Thanks for nothing. Goodbye. Don't look at me like that. You've had days worse than that. Don't even look at me like that. So I went, that was it. You know what, preacher, I went on strike. You know, that was Friday night, Saturday. You think I went soul winning? I don't think so. Sunday morning, I'm sitting over here. The preacher's up there. I'm, you know, it's like a husband and wife fight. I got my back turned. I'm reading Sports Illustrated over here or something. I'm not paying the least bit of attention. Sunday night, bored city. You ever get mad at God? We're babies, aren't we? Does he love me? Yeah, this is how much. I couldn't have enough. You know what happened Monday morning? Monday morning I got up in the morning. I got to go to college now and teach 400 young men. Uh-oh. I better have something to teach. Three classes a day. So guess what I tried to do? What you do. I tried to slide in. You say, it's longer than normal. Yeah, but the world's coming to an end. Remember that? Look, I tried to slide in by what? Getting right with God without confessing anything. Ever been there? I'm sitting at the kitchen table. My wife's right here ironing. Look, 800 square foot yellow house. Guess what I opened up to? 1 Corinthians 2. How you doing, Lord? And I read the verse 9. I hath not seen verse. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. You know what he said? He said, five lousy dollars. That's all it took for you to flip on me? Elliot Ness and the Untouchables had more religion than that. You flip for $5. Got it? Everything was Gucci between me and God until I didn't get my $5. Then forget God. Anybody out here like that right now? Hello. How about 80% of you probably? Because you're human. Even though you're saved, you got that nasty flesh. God's trying to speak to you this morning about that. I'm dumping everything on you for my own personal life to make it easy for you to say, yeah, I can get right too. And I looked at myself and my wife's ironing. I said, honey, you know what the Lord just showed me? He just tested me and I flunked. I can't believe it. Listen, 5 minutes later, I'm dressed, going out the door, look. And this is what I said to my wife going out the door. If you told me this, I wouldn't believe it. 30-minute drive to the college to teach my morning class. I said, honey, I'm a teacher. I'm in trouble. I know what happens when you flunk a test. You got to go to the makeup test room. He spent many, many times in the makeup test room. Take the test over. And these are my last words. If I'm making this up, may the Lord smack him right in the head if I'm making any of this up. This is exactly what I said to my wife. Ready? I said, honey, I wonder what the Lord's going to do to me today. And I got into my car, preacher, back to those paranoid days. I mean, I drove 10-2, Botchagaloop, 20 miles below the speed limit all the way to the college. Probably got there late. Walked up that long walk looking for skateboards and banana peels. I was hearing voices. I was just scared. I'm just telling you, this was real. Watch this. I was there when it happened. And I made it all the way up to my classes, taught 3 classes, ate lunch. I should have had a tester. I didn't know if I was going to eat poison. The Lord was on my case, look. I jumped in my car in the afternoon, drove up to my part-time job in Chicago. Now watch, 6 o'clock at night, I'm in South Chicago, bad, bad Leroy Brown neighborhood. I'm telling you, it was bad. I pulled up to a red light. Look, taxi cab's right next to me. We're both going that way with a red light holding us up. I'm on a sales appointment. Light turns green. We both go through the intersection. Some crazy guy from Iran named Battles, Middle East dude, comes flying through the intersection, smashes into the cab. Cab smashes into me. Can't open the door. Windshield shot. Smoke coming out of the engine. Semi-totaled. Hello. Arm paralyzed. These 2 fingers right here to this day are still numb. I'm in there. Some guy comes running over after a few minutes, looks inside to see. He can't get a door open. Looks in there and he yells, yeah, it looks like he's alive in there. I don't know if he said this, but he could have said this. You understand? He could have said this. Ready? Yeah, he's alive. Man, the dude's in there laughing his head off about something. I was laughing my head off, paralyzed arm. Listen, this is what I was saying. I said, Lord, I sure do love you, Lord. I sure do love you. You know where I was? Where you're going? I was in the makeup test room. Well, you don't have to go. Want a verse? If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Anybody want to miss the makeup test room? Because God's got one for you. Well, what does that mean? You flunked lately? When'd you flunk? Griping, complaining, why? Right, lately? I'm saved, yeah. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Chastens you in the makeup test room. But you can avoid that if you get right first. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Look, I wasn't laughing 3 days ago, sitting in front of the surgeon the night before my emergency surgery. Mr. Grady, 5 o'clock. Mr. Grady, this is going to be very painful surgery. You just got to take it. I said, what? How painful? It's going to be like you're shot in the throat with a point-blank range pistol. We got to cut your throat open and hammer a piece of bone into your spinal column. It's going to feel like you got shot by a pistol. What? And then he says, they're supposed to tell you, this is not going to hurt, sonny. Remember, when you're kids, they tell you that. When you're an adult, they're going to tell you the truth. And then you're a speaker, right? You're a speaker. He said, we might hit your voice box and you might lose your voice. Permanently or temporarily. Herniated disc surgery. Anybody ever have that in there? It's some crazy stuff, neighbor. And then, Ironside on a wheelchair. We might hit your spine and that'll be it. You won't walk anymore. And I've signed all these waivers already. They're back in the file. Where's those papers I signed? I should have read them. We got out of there. 5 o'clock. I was the last patient. I'm getting operated on the next morning. I took my wife. I said, take me to my prayer spot. We went right to the college, right behind the college, out in that field there, behind the college lake. And then she parked the car, sat in the car, and I ran out into a cornfield. Oh, God! You know I'm a whip. Those teachers think I'm macho John Wayne. I'm a whip. You know I'm a whip. It's just you and me here. Help! The guy said he's going to shoot me. I'm going to be in a wheelchair or something. I'll lose my voice. Pain. You got to help here. That's how I was. Do not look at... I'm tired of you looking at me like that today. And preacher, I'm such a wimp, city boy. The sun went down when I'm out there, and all of a sudden I thought, snakes. There could be snakes out there. Don't you know I'm not going to make up anything? My life is wacky enough. I tell you the truth, it'll hold your attention. I come skipping out of that field. I thought snake was going to get me. I jumped into my car. Let's go, honey. That's enough prayer for tonight. Serious as a heart attack. Next morning, roll me in.
10, 9, 8.
Out like a light. I woke up after a little bit. Guess what? Watch. Zero pain. I'm no charismatic. I'm just telling you the way to call unto me and I'll answer you. That works whether you're a Baptist or whatever you are. No pain. See the number zero? That's how many pain pills I took in the hospital for 3 days. There's my scars. It was a miracle, the doctor said. You know why God did that for me? Because I was already in the makeup test room in the wrong arm. fake healer. Did you notice I had the wrong arm there? Oh, this is when God got me right here. And I said, I love you, Lord. See? I got retested. I passed this time. And that little perk, no pain, that was God's way of saying, I just wanted to know everything's okay between you and me. Hey, get this. My wife brought me a pizza box, made me get pizza. I'm not supposed to eat anything for like 3 years. I made her go out and get me sneak me a pizza. I thought I'd beat you if you don't get me the pizza. She brought a pizza and hid it in a box, hid it in a bag or something. And then we hid the box underneath the mattress. About 2 a.m, I started getting major, indigestion. They thought I was having heart attacks. Ding, 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 bells. They ran me into 3,000 tests. I probably ran the bill up about $50 million. Don't tell anybody. It was just a pizza. I don't know if they ever found the box. It was under the mattress. Serious. The next day, I'm up breakdancing. I went home. I was fine. Yeah, but one more thing. 3 months later, I found that I had to have 4 wisdom teeth taken out. Everybody said, it's the most painful oral surgery you can have. 4 of them? You're dead, brother. Guess what I did? I ran right back to the woods. Got there early enough that I'd have to worry about the snakes. Oh, watch it. Oh, God, do it again. Lord, they're going to, oral surgery, they're going to rip my mouth apart. But you know, I'm the same wimp I was 3 months ago. Serious. Oh, God, do it again. Next morning.
10, 9, 8.
Let me tell you how I woke up that time. And all I kept hearing from the Lord was, what do you think I am, a stinking Aladdin's lamp? He's not Aladdin's lamp. I got what I needed the last time. I didn't need to get it again. Okay. I'm finished. Look at this. You know what sliding into home plate means? I am already sliding and my feet are 1 inch from the bag. All I want you to see is the verse that Paul quotes from. That's it, and we're done. Watch it. As it is written. Is that what he said? Remember? Turn to Isaiah 64, and this is where we end the message. This is the biggest surprise of the entire morning, and we'll go home with this. Isaiah 64. Don't miss it. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Read all about it. You're going to learn something now. Here we go. Isaiah 64, verse 4. You know what it means to come full circle? Don't read ahead. Stay with me. I want to sneak up on you. Ready? Verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, right? What he hath prepared for him that loveth him. Is that what your Bible says? Paul changed it to love him. What's the original verse he's quoting from? for him that what? Waiteth for him. If that's God's way of telling you what love means to him. If you love me, you'll wait for me. How about that, neighbor? And aren't we back full circle where we started? What I do now, you don't know. But you shall know when? Hereafter. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let's bow our heads for prayer. And let's stand to our feet. I appreciate preaching here. Hey, it's your fault that we're here longer than normal because there's so much liberty in here. If you're a dead church...